Hare Krishna. This morning, before Bhagavatam class, because every morning for class, the Bhagavatam just doesn't sort of happen. But what we do is that all the Vaishnavas actually stand up. The Bhagavatam set is kept on the altar along with Chaitanya Charitamrita and Bhagavad Gita. And so when there's a class, then the devotees rise, greet the Bhagavatam, chant Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, then Bhagavatam comes on to the Bhagavatam lectern. And then in that way we give class, and at the conclusion of the class, then again everyone rises while the Bhagavatam goes back. So that's sort of an etiquette that we've introduced to give a little more due respect and attention to the wonder that Srimad Bhagavatam is. And then from there, today I began to just speak a little further about our responsibility and what it actually means to give respect to Bhagavatam, to give respect to the hearer of Srimad Bhagavatam, because often we find that it's something that we don't give due respect to, and perhaps as a result we incur offenses to Bhagavatam, offenses to the holy name. For instance, falling asleep in class, texting on telephone, things like having the telephone on and then running out of class. My observation in India from the way traditional Bhagavatam speakers, and I'm talking about professional Bhagavatam speakers, but Vaishnava Bhagavatam speakers speak, is that Bhagavatam class isn't something that people just easily rise up and get out of, or they just go out. Rather, they stay there from beginning to end, attentively hearing, not walking in and out. I gave the example of a actor on a stage. An actor on a stage doesn't organize, or does organize themselves in such a way that they go through their scenes and the period for which they're on stage. They don't just all of a sudden say, "Oops, sorry, I got a call of nature," and then walk off stage. But rather, they stay there for all of their lines and as long as they're meant to, and it's only then that they can attend to those things. So a similar thing can be said for devotees who come to attend Srimad Bhagavatam class, that they make sure that in that period of 30 minutes, 45 minutes, maximum an hour, that they're there and they're giving due respect to hearing of the class, just like we hear that Shukadeva Goswami, Pariksit Maharaj, they neither slept or ate or drank, but they just continued drinking the nectar of Bhagavatam. Shushibho Shabdana Shusho Vasudeva Kataruchi, having great faith in the potency of Vyasadeva to manifest through the speakers, and hearing with great faith. Another topic is doing other things during Bhagavatam class, such as making garlands, knitting, sewing, or other activities that men may do. This again doesn't really give due respect to Bhagavatam, or to speak of devotees perhaps talking or chatting amongst each other. And there was that incident that Srila Prabhupada himself mentions, how his spiritual master reprimanded him for just the exchange of comments with another disciple. And of course, another unfortunate phenomenon that takes place is not necessarily in the temple room or where Bhagavatam is being spoken, but near where it's being spoken, so that there are social interchanges, chatting, all kinds of discussions, and so on, taking place just right outside the temple room. In other words, the devotees who should be inside are outside. Why be outside? Why be talking about other things? why not hear that, oh yes, here Shukadeva Goswami is now speaking to me, and what has he to say? We may think, well, it's not Shukadeva Goswami, but it's some other person, other devotee, but Shushudo Sharadanascha, again, but it minimizes the potency of Vyasadeva, Shukadeva, Bhagavatam to manifest through whomever they want to. Shivas Thakur heard from Devananda Pandit, who was at that time a Mayavadi, and still he was able to distill the essence of the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam to the extent of exhibiting ecstatic symptoms. The important thing is that respect must be shown Srimad Bhagavatam. Shastra says that one should mount Srimad Bhagavatam on a golden throne. So, whereas in this day and age we may not have the wealth of a golden throne, but it should be on a nice platform, elevated platform, preferably marble or something like that. And just the whole idea of placing something on a golden throne means to actually give it due respect. Of course, our culture is so much one of distributing Srimad Bhagavatam and giving Srimad Bhagavatam to others, that sometimes, because the concessions that we get for book distribution, we transpose those concessions into the way devotees interact with the Bhagavatam. In other words, we're a little familiar. So yes, we distribute Bhagavatam, we take the risk that people throw it away, that they don't respect it. We put Bhagavatams in our book bag, and they may get wet, and other things may also transpire when book distribution goes on in all the different venues and forms that it does. But we have that empowerment from Srila Prabhupada, from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and we do it to fulfill the order of the Lord. But there's another order, and how devotees interact with Srimad Bhagavatam for their own personal edification, for studying, for hearing, is a whole different thing, and we shouldn't confuse the fact that Bhagavatam is so readily available and made so readily available under casual conditions for non-devotees that we then also casually deal with it ourselves. And of course, when I'm talking about Srimad Bhagavatam, I mean Chaitanya Charitamrita and Bhagavad Gita. It includes all of our scriptures. For instance, in Christianity, up until the time of the printing press, the Bible was only available in the church. And some of that was some of the results of that was is that the priests misused their access to scripture to lord it over the general congregation, but the other was that the Bible was such a valuable thing, such a rare thing, that it was housed in the church. That's what churches were for, and it was only the priests, the very highly qualified people, who had access to it. That means that we should also see that although it's made available now to everyone, still one should be qualified. There's a certain qualification required, and there's a certain etiquette required for hearing of, handling, and the study of Srimad Bhagavatam. And specifically, what I was speaking about was how that applies to Srimad Bhagavatam class, and how real Bhagavatam class is meant to play out a very intense, well-attended, respectful event, which is really the highlight of devotees' spiritual lives for the day. And when we approach Srimad Bhagavatam like that, when we approach the speakers, the text itself, then we can expect very wonderful things to happen, very intense communication to take place to us through the grace of Srila Vyasadeva, Shukadeva Goswami, Srimad Bhagavatam itself, who is Krishna, and who is Krishna himself. In the same way that Krishna is the holy name, non-different from his holy name, he's non-different from the transcendental sound vibration of Srimad Bhagavatam, and that upon which that transcendental sound vibration is recorded, or written down. There are rules and regulations for chanting to get the full benefit of the holy name and to actually see Krishna within the sound vibration of the Maha Mantra. The same may be said of Srimad Bhagavatam as well. Therefore, we should consider very carefully this etiquette of Bhagavatam recitation, Bhagavatam hearing, Bhagavatam study, and basing our lives on Srimad Bhagavatam, because ultimately that's what the purpose of the real hearing was. It isn't that this is just some type of class, but Srimad Bhagavatam is meant to actually be the basis of our lives. It's our cultural, spiritual, social values are all based on Bhagavatam. And when we live our lives by Srimad Bhagavatam, then Srimad Bhagavatam really manifests its full splendor within our hearts. Hare Krishna.